WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this rainy Tuesday. But hey, we hope to dry you up here on the show as we have a ton to talk about. Mateen Cleaves will join me, former MSU hoop great. He'll join me to talk about the NBA draft. And how about LeBron James opting out? You'll hear more about that in our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners in just a sec. Also, we'll talk about two local players who are being inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame. How about that? And we have Pick 'em Monday and a very special, intriguing, to say the least, Top 5 Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. Stick around for all of that. But before we do get to all of that, here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
Happy Tuesday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, June 24th. The opening round of the Michigan Women's Open got underway yesterday. Recent MSU grad Alyssa Farrell posted a solid 2-under par 70 in rainy conditions in the 66-player field tackling the Mountain Ridge course at Crystal Mountain Resort. Farrell had 5 birdies and 3 bogeys, while DeWitt's Liz Nagel picked the Women's Open for her pro debut after a solid college career at Michigan State. She stands even par 72. Michigan State assistant coach Amy Neff and Gabby Urich are tied for 5th at 2-under with Farrell. Urich just completed her redshirt freshman season at Michigan State. To University of Michigan football ticket sales, single game tickets will go on sale this week. Starting this morning at 8:30 a.m., donors and season ticket holders who meet certain stipulations will be able to purchase additional tickets to individual games. The sales will continue Wednesday morning when donors and season ticket holders meeting lesser stipulations will be permitted to make purchases. Subscribers to U of M's various digital communities will be included in the sales on Thursday. And lastly, on Friday at 8:30 a.m., single game tickets will be made available to the general public. Of the 7 games available on October 11th, the night game against Penn State comes in the hot, large price ticket sale, tickets ranging from $100 to $200. The homes of Michigan State's football and basketball teams could be getting a touch-up. The school's Board of Trustees voted Friday to authorize planning for 2 projects that would upgrade the Breslin Center and Duffy Daugherty football building at a combined project cost of $33 million. Funds for the $28 million Breslin Center upgrade are expected to come from the school's general fund, while the $5 million budget for the Daugherty football building upgrade is expected to come from donor gifts, according to documents provided by the school. The plans would still have to go through multiple more steps and board approvals before being finalized, according to the school spokesman. The community will also have an opportunity to provide feedback on the plans. The NHL announced the 2014 inductees into the NHL Hall of Fame yesterday, and several notable players made the cut. Goalie Dominic Hasek, centers Mike Modano and Peter Forsberg, defenseman Rob Blake, coach Pat Burns, and legendary ref Bill McCreary will enter the Hall of Fame on November 17th. Hasek and Modano both have local ties, Hasek winning 2 Stanley Cups with Detroit and Modano hailing from Livonia and joining the Wings in the twilight of his career. The suddenly streaking Detroit Tigers will ride their 4-game winning streak into Texas for a 3-game series with the Rangers. Drew Smyly will face off against Colby Lewis tonight, and Ian Kinsler's first game versus the Rangers in Arlington, first pitch set at 8:05. LeBron James has informed the Miami Heat he will opt out of his contract and become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. While it's not a guarantee that James will leave Miami, he's opened the door to join another team in the offseason. He was set to earn $42.7 million over the final 2 seasons of his deal. He may sign a long-term deal with Miami to give the club flexibility or join another team in better position to challenge for a title. In World Cup action, Spain powers back after their loss to Chile, defeating Australia 3-0, and Netherlands beats Chile 3-0 in Group B to make it interesting. In Group A, Brazil and Mexico both came away big winners. Brazil knocked off Cameroon 4-1, and Mexico surprised Croatia 3-1. In today's action, Costa Rica and England, plus Italy and Uruguay, are playing right now. We'll keep you updated throughout today's show. And later, Ivory Coast and Greece start at 4, as well as Japan and Colombia. In other World Cup news, after missing Sunday's match against Portugal, United States forward Jozy Altidor will also sit out against Germany. Altidor suffered a hamstring injury in the first game against Ghana. Should the United States advance, coach Klinsmann believes, quote, we'll have a good chance to have him back again, end quote. And finally, to Wimbledon. Rafael Nadal edging out his first-round opponent up 2-1. And yesterday, Novak Djokovic moved on to the second round, defeating Golubev in straight sets. On the women's side, Sharapova won her first round in straight sets, 6-1 and 6-0. And Serena served off against Tadashvili today at 1 p.m. We'll keep you updated throughout the show. And sister, Venus Williams, also won yesterday in three sets, 6-4, 4-6, and 6-2. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. The lines are now open, 517-355-9527. Time to send it back to Al to start the show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex, for those current sports quick hit headliners. Man, oh, man. Again, as always here, there is so much going on in the world of sports. My goodness. You know, just to get away from sports really quick, you know, I had to bring up this story here on today's show. If you don't know, on the campus of Michigan State University, they have an interesting viewing of a certain plant. It's being called a corpse flower. Have you heard about this, Alex? Just nod your head yes if you have. It's called a corpse flower. It's interesting stuff. It's called, now I probably will mess this name up, but Amphorphallus titanium. Amphorphallus titanium is the name of the plant. It is very, very rare. It's a 6 foot high flower, and it gives off a scent that many say resembles a rotting corpse. How about that? Now, it's so interesting. It's such a phenomenon. I saw this on the news yesterday evening, the 6 o'clock news. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I went online and went to LSJ, and they had a big write-up on it. The plant, which MSU has owned since 1995, last bloomed in 2010, and its caretaker, her name is Jan Surzin, an MSU horticulturist, says that the blooming only lasts between 24 and 36 hours. It's so, so rare. And you have people from Chicago and Ohio, all across the nation, coming to MSU to take pictures with the flower and take a big, huge whiff of it. How about that? I mean, that's craziness. And some of the words that have been used to describe the flower, again, it's being called the corpse flower because they say it smells like a corpse or rotting garbage or just plain, it stinks, bottom line, okay? Interesting stuff. So, again, viewings will be going on today, and they will last, none are last, actually, on Wednesday. So, showings are continue today until 8 p.m. So, definitely check it out. That's pretty interesting stuff, I thought. All right, folks. Well, in the world of sports, we have so much to talk about, as you heard in our headliners. How about LeBron James opting out? Really no surprise for me. I don't know if it surprised you. Certainly did not surprise me. LeBron James coming off a loss to the coveted San Antonio Spurs, who have found the fountain of youth somehow. Each and every year they seem to do it and have won, of course, the NBA champions of this past season. Just really handling the Miami Heat easily, you know, a 5-game series. There's a lot of speculation as to what LeBron would do. And there still is, folks. You know, left and right, I'm hearing teams like Chicago. I'm hearing, possibly him and, you know, Carmelo Anthony linking up. The latest team to be in the mix is now with the San Antonio, San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers, because LeBron has a great relationship with Chris Paul and an even better one with, of course, Doc Rivers. So it's pretty interesting. A lot of teams' names are being thrown out there. And yesterday, you know, after the show, I saw this. LeBron James' wife, she went on Instagram and actually Instagrammed a picture of the outline map of Ohio with the Akron star on it saying home sweet home. And there's so many that just flipped their wig and lost their minds about the post. It was actually a headliner on ESPN.com, Yahoo Sports, SI.com. I'm sitting there just shaking my head like, you got to be kidding me. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my fair share of NBA. I love it. The NBA is my favorite sport to watch. But this LeBron James fiasco, it takes me back in time to the whole decision that went down with LeBron when he made, you know, he had the whole hour special event on TV. He sat down with a journalist and finally made a decision on going to the Miami Heat. It reminds me of that hoopla again coming back. Now, will LeBron James, will he go? Will he stay? Will he go? I mean, it's going to be an interesting, it's an interesting conversation because there's so many scenarios that I could see this thing really playing out into. And just a moment, we're going to talk with Mateen Cleaves. Mateen Cleaves, of course, is a former MSU hoop great who is now an NBA analyst for the Detroit Pistons on Fox Sports Detroit. You can also hear him analyzing college basketball and the NBA on Sirius XM Radio and also on television for CBS. He's always talking hoops all the time, each and every day, and we're glad that Mateen will be joining us today to dive into everything, of course, with this whole LeBron James discussion, and Carmelo Anthony, who has also, we kind of hit on this yesterday about Carmelo Anthony opting out and weighing his options on whether he wants to stay with the Knicks or take his talents elsewhere. So it's so interesting, when you look at this, because you always go back into the 80s where, the free agency market in the NBA was totally not the way it is now. I mean, now you have these athletes getting paid beaucoup amounts of money left and right. And there's so much, politics are involved in the game so much. I think too much nowadays. And a lot of that has to do with the Jordan era. Michael Jordan kind of opened that door to free agency and the amount of money that comes with shoe endorsements and different companies and just sponsors overall in the game. And now you have such a money-hungry league, and now even a championship-driven league where players don't care if they have to link up with another superstar to get a ring. For me, my opinion on this whole thing with LeBron James, I think personally it would just add another bullet to the chamber for LeBron haters if LeBron decides to link up with another superstar and try to get a ring that way. If he does it again, you're going to hear it again. Because we heard it when, he linked up with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Many saying, oh, yeah, he had to link up with two other superstars in order for him to get a ring. Yeah, I definitely see that argument. I can see exactly where you're going with that whole argument. I've been hearing it for the past, 4 years now since LeBron James made the move to Miami. And I definitely see where you're coming from. And it's even going to be heightened even more. Let's say he does go to a Los Angeles Clippers team. You're going to see that argument go through the roof. Through the roof. LeBron haters are going to come out the bushes once again and start to harp on how he had to do it with two teams to try to get a ring. I can just see it now. The only way, if LeBron James is going to leave Miami, the only way to submit and keep his legacy intact and to sort of silence all of the LeBron haters out there, the only way to do that, if he is going to leave, is to go to, yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The team that many felt as though he shiced it, the team that many felt as though he just did wrong. And, you saw on TV when the decision happened, many fans out in the streets burning his jersey, stomping on his jersey. You heard the numerous comments from Cleveland Cavaliers fans left and right about how LeBron James is not loyal. It's a cop-out for him to go to Miami. You saw it, and it was heightened. I was one of those LeBron haters. I totally saw where you were coming from. But the only way to cement that legacy, just imagine if LeBron James was to go back to Cleveland and get them a championship. I think all sins would be forgiven if that happened. Oh, boy. So we'll dive into that with Mateen in just a sec. Again, we're opening up our phone lines throughout this entire hour. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I'm hearing some breaking news here on my phone. The Detroit Tigers have acquired pitcher Daniel Sherliff from the Pittsburgh Pirates for cash and assign him to AAA. Now, he was with the team in the 2010 to 2012. So, again, the Tigers acquire pitcher Daniel Sherliff from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm just getting that update on my phone. Sherliff, excuse me. See, I'm terrible with names, Alex. Thank you for correcting me. He just buzzed in my ear and said Sherliff. Sherliff, Daniel Sherliff from the Pittsburgh Pirates. So again, folks, tomorrow, Current Sports TV tapes, Charlie Bell, yes, former MSU hoop great Charlie Bell will be sitting down with me to talk about his famed career with MSU, his NBA career, and so much more. I look forward to sitting down with him. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience, you can sign up online for free by just simply going to WKAR.org. That should be a great time. Also, if you happen, you know, not to be, you know, if you're at work and busy and you happen not to be by a phone and you still want to weigh in on any of the conversation we have here on today's show, you can do so by going to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweeting me at Al Martin WKAR. Again, as Alex said in our headliners, you know, Dominik Hasek, how about him? His career with, you know, just his entire NHL career, known as the Dominator, and for good reason. He was such a fantastic goalkeeper. I mean, watching Dominik Hasek play, you know, yesterday, you know, sitting down when the news broke, I sat down and I turned on the TV and watched, you know, a few highlights from him on various sports networks who were talking about the Hall of Fame class for the NHL this year. And they showed Hasek playing back in the day and some of the unbelievable saves that he pulled off. Man, oh man, was he good. My goodness, folks. If you remember him playing, I mean, you know, of course, going back to when he won that title with Detroit in the early 2000s. I mean, he was so good. And how about Mike Modano? Well-deserving as well, hailing from Livonia, Michigan, and, you know, joining the Wings to cap off his great career. We'll talk about the legacy of those two men and their recent accomplishment again, being inducted into the 2014 NHL Hall of Fame. Hasek and Modano will be joined by Peter Forsberg, defenseman Rob Blake, coach Pat Burns, and legendary ref Bill McCreary. And that Hall of Fame ceremony will take place on November 17th. And also on today's Top 5 Tuesday, it should be a very exciting one, folks. And we want you to weigh in on this as well. Again, 517-355-9527. Last week, we were talking about the Tigers and their slump. The Tigers, of course, looking to get back on that saddle of winning. Right now, they have a nice little win streak. And again, they will open a series against the Rangers tonight at 8:05 p.m., hoping to expand on that win streak. But during the whole turmoil of the Tigers going through that 9-20 stretch, one of the individuals who had a terrible outing and has been, you know, been having such a roller coaster type of a year so far is Justin Verlander. And, you know, we joked about on the show how maybe Verlander is distracted by his newly acquired girlfriend, Kate Upton. Kate is a famous model. You can catch her on, you know, gracing the covers of magazines such as Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit edition, which I did get. It's a great, 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 great magazine. But yeah, you know, and we talked about how, you know, certain athletes, when they get into celebrity relationships, sometimes their performance after they get into that relationship on the court or the field or whatever venue they're playing at or in, sometimes that performance can go down the tubes. And we always wonder whether or not maybe they're distracted by that significant other. And today, on today's Top 5 Tuesday, we're going to have a little fun today and list the top 5 player-celeb relationships that supposedly hurt the athlete's performance. That should be a good one. So many come to mind. I had to really think about and dwindle down mine. I'm going to put an interesting spin on mine, but Matt, Alex, and I will dive into that and list all of that. So we have a ton to get to on today's show. Again, don't go anywhere. We're going to hit the first break. When we come back, we'll talk about LeBron James opting out. And also, how about Tim Duncan opting in? Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hopefully, everybody is having a great Tuesday around mid-Michigan and beyond. It's a rainy one. It is a rainy one out there. Hopefully, you all are staying dry. I am now joined by Matt Luckey and Alex Shark. Fellas, Matt, how you doing, man? You all right?
Doing well. Hoping the rain goes away, but nonetheless, doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing well, too. I tell you what, the talk of the town right now is about LeBron James. I mean, you can't turn on ESPN or SI or anything. I mean, without seeing or reading about LeBron James opting out. Even, you know, we chuckled yesterday after the show when I went online and you know, saw LeBron's wife Instagramming a picture of Ohio and Akron saying home sweet home and people losing their minds with comments. I'm pretty sure our followers went through the roof. But, I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it?
It is crazy, especially considering that that's where he's from. So that makes sense that it would be their home sweet home.
Right.
I mean, he still has a house there.
He
does.
That's
where he goes in the
summers.
Exactly.
That's where he grew up, folks.
It almost makes you long for the days of the Brett Favre, will he or won't he retire?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
that's, and we're just at the tip of the iceberg now. It's going to be
every day.
A long weekend, however long it takes into free agency for him to sign a deal.
Yeah.
But the difference, I think, this time is it's not him that's pushing it.
Right.
I mean, he talked to the team privately. It got picked up by the media, and they're blowing it all up.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's not like he's having the hour-long special again. This is all
This is all from us.
Just speculation.
It's media-driven right
Absolutely.
Now. Exactly. We're talking about it right now. And I tell you what, a man who covers everything NBA is, you know, of course, a friend of the show here on Current Sports. He is a former MSU hoop great. Now NBA analyst for the Detroit Pistons on Fox Sports Detroit. He is also on Sirius XM Radio and with CBS Sports. Mateen Cleaves, thanks a lot for joining me today, Mateen. How you doing?
What's up, baby? What's happening?
My man, you know what, Mateen, funny story. I'm sitting back watching the 6 o'clock news, just working on some stuff for the show, and I look up and Channel 6 had covered Lauren H's fashion show, and I look up and see you rocking a fedora looking fly, my man. Good stuff.
Oh yeah, you know I had to take it to a whole nother level.
Hey,
but
fly as always.
It was a lot of fun. It was for a great cause, raised some money, man. So it was fun to be a part of.
Yes, it was always a fun time with Lauren's fashion show. All right, my team, before I dive into the fiasco that's going on with LeBron James and the NBA and the upcoming draft, I first have to dive into the second annual One Goal, One Passion basketball camp. The camps will be held in Benton Harbor, Lansing, and Flint. You're partnering up with Meyer this year. Participants will only pay $1. The camp is actually going on right now as we speak, right, Mateen?
No, I'm actually having a golf outing right now.
I'm
having a golf outing right now to help raise money for the Boys and Girls Club of Lansing and scholarship funds for kids to go to Michigan State. So that's what's going on right now. The camps are a little later down at the end of the month and at the beginning of August. And like you said, yes, Flint, Benton Harbor, and Lansing. So we're just doing a golf party right now, but we're gearing up to get ready for those camps.
So when you talk about One Goal, One Passion, Mateen, because I remember we had you on last summer to talk about this great, great camp. You know, it's so affordable for any kid trying to be involved in it. For you, what will kids learn at this camp that separates it from others from around this area?
Well, yeah, like you said, affordable. Because one thing I always vow that I never ever charge a kid to teach them how to play basketball. Somebody taught me. So the dollar is just really registration. So it's a free camp for the kids. But one thing I wanted to take away from our basketball camps is, you know, learning life skills, learning, you know, eco-friendliness, learning how to eat healthy. It's not your typical basketball camp. So we want the kids, you know, the basketball is the draw. But once we get them there, we want to hit them with a variety of different things.
How successful was the camp last year, Mateen?
Well, you know what? It was very successful because the kids were receptive to everything we were teaching. You know, we had kids had a bunch of fun. We had a lot of guys come out at the Michigan State, camp in Lansing last year. I mean, Michigan State whole basketball team came over. And, you know, the kids got a chance to see them along with Morris Peterson and myself, Antonio Smith, Charlie Bell, some of the Michigan State greats, Andre Hudson. You know, so it was a great turnout. And this year is going to be even bigger and better.
That's great stuff. You know, and when we had you on the TV show a few weeks ago, Mateen, something that was great about, you know, when you talked about One Goal, One Passion, was that basketball with this camp is sort of the draw. But once you get them in the door, you teach them, you know, everything that, you know, goes beyond just the hardwood. Why is it so important to not just use this as an opportunity to teach basketball?
Well, yeah, I want to hit them with different things. You know, even if you're a successful athlete or a successful basketball player, playing the game is a very small percentage of being successful. And that's why we want to teach kids on how to eat healthy, eco-friendly list, to help the environment, cut the water off, turn the lights out, don't litter. We teach kids how to eat right, you know, things that can make you sluggish, things, foods, and fruits that give you energy. So we, like I said, the basketball gets them in the door, but once they get there, by the end of the week, they walk away with a lot of different jewels that can not only help them in sports, but help them in life as well.
Yes, that is so true. So is the signing and registration, is it still open for kids and parents
Definitely.
Trying to get their kids involved in it?
Definitely. You can go to onegoalonepassion.com, and it's easy. You just sign the kids up. It'll probably take 2 or 3 minutes to be able to sign your kids up. And we're looking forward to having a bunch of kids this year, so we need you guys to get out and parents and sign the kids up. It's definitely a fun camp that they'll benefit from and get something out of.
Sign them up, parents. It will be here in Lansing, One Goal, One Passion, from July 29th through the 31st. So there you have that. All right, Mateen, let's shift gears now. Let's talk a little NBA. Now, the NBA draft is this Thursday. And, you know, before his injury, many had Joel Embiid as the projected first pick. How far do you think he will fall? Because I was reading the other day that right now it looks as though the Philadelphia 76ers may still choose him at that number 3 pick. What do you think about Joel?
You know what? At worst, he's not going to fall past 5. I don't see Utah. I don't see the Jazz letting him get past them at, sitting at 5. And the unfortunate thing for Cleveland, because they kind of last year, right now, Bennett, it's not looking like it's going to work out. Who knows how it will. So they don't really have the luxury to take a chance on Embiid. If it works, then great. But if it don't, now you got to explain to your fans how you had 2 number one picks that never panned out to be good players.
Right.
So if anybody else had that pick at number one, they could take a chance on Embiid. But I think it's kind of hard for Cleveland to be able to take that chance, because if it don't work out, that's going to be hard to explain to your fans. For the last 2 years, you had the number one pick and nothing came up.
Yeah, that is so true. When you talk about the rarity of big men in today's game, you know, specifically the NBA, and I always look, you know, when I heard about the Joel Embiid injury, you know, I had a flashback about, of course, you know, to Greg Oden and the countless big men who have just been injured over time, when the draft happens, right after the draft or before the draft. The rarity of big men in the NBA today, Mateen, do you think that the value of the big man has skyrocketed due to that rarity in today's game?
Definitely. You don't get good, skillful big man often. So that's why I think he was kind of the favorite before the injury for the number one pick, because, you know, in this day and age, to get a wing, an athletic wing that can run the floor, finish on a break, I think those are a dime a dozen. But to actually get a big man that can play with his back to the basket, they got a good feel for the game, and that can go on a defensive end and get you blocks and rebounds, I think that's something rare right now in today's game. So whenever you have a guy like that, you're going to see a lot of teams take a chance on a big.
Mateen Cleaves, MSU Hoop great, now NBA analyst for the Detroit Pistons. He's on Fox Sports Detroit, also on Sirius XM Radio and with CBS Sports. Speaking of the Pistons, Mateen, what do you think the Pistons are going to do this upcoming draft? What do they need?
Well, unfortunately, they don't have a first-round pick.
Right.
So that's bad luck, because this is a really good, deep, talented draft. You want to have some first-round picks in this. But, you know, they might get active in the free agency. They might make some trades and try to get active and might try to trade up to get some of those draft picks. So, unfortunately, they don't have they don't have a first-round pick right now. But I think if they do got a chance to get a shooter, I would do that, because you got bigs. You can get Greg Monroe to come back, and Andre Drummond. You got a nice front line.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need somebody to stretch that defense. And I'm going to tell you, a sleeper guy is a kid that played right in Oakland,
mm-hmm,
that then probably can get in that second round, and Travis Bader.
Oh, yeah.
That used to be, he was a Michigan State kid. He was around us when I was playing here, but he's a guy that they might be able to steal in the second round. I think that could help the Pistons, because he's a shooter.
So, do you know Travis personally, Mateen?
Yeah. I remember him hanging around the gyms, man, when we played, and actually called a few games, few of his games. And, I mean, he can shoot it. I've been around a lot of shooters. He can flat out shoot it. So, in the right situation with the right chance, I think he can have success in the NBA.
When did you know that Travis is going to be a special player? And did you ever fathom? I don't think anybody ever fathomed that he would become the all-time Division I college basketball leader from the three-point range. But, I mean, did you know when you first saw this kid play that he was going to be a special one?
You know what? It hit me last year, to be honest. When you saw him, he just was a little snotty-nosed kid running around the gym with us. But, you know, I actually got a chance. I heard he was, you know, a pretty good shooter. He had been playing well. But when I watched him play, I said, oh, man, you know, he's very – that's a skill. You know, I mean, he can shoot it. To be able to shoot the ball at the level he shot it at when I was watching playing college. That so I think that last year kind of dawned on me that he might have a chance to play a year later.
Yeah, I'm certain a team out there will probably take the risk and get him. He will be a great addition to NBA. I think he's going to be a great player. And, you know, lastly, before just real quick, still on the Pistons, my team, quickly here. When you look at, you know, you talk about that front line for the Pistons, and Andre Drummond, Greg Monroe, and you have Josh Smith in that mix as well. Personally, my team, you know, I talked to you on before the TV show a few weeks ago, and we talked about this, how I believe that I don't see – those three on the court ever playing coherently together. Now, we have Vince Ellis, who is a beat writer for the Detroit Free Press with the Detroit Pistons, and he kind of broke down how he could see, because Stan Van wants Josh Smith on this team still. And when you look at this whole scenario, well, and Greg Monroe, he still wants Greg Monroe on this team, and he feels as though he can pull off some magic and possibly pull off these three playing together coherently. But in any scenario I look at, I just can't see that happening with all three of them out on the court. Do you think this thing could work out and Stan Van can pull off some magic here?
Well, you know what? It's all about matchups. The NBA is about matchups. So if you can play those three together in a favorable matchup, then so be it. But, I think Stan might be a little more creative, and he might bring a Josh Smith off the bench and let him – because he likes to shoot it. He wants to score the basketball.
Right.
So why not let him come off the bench and just fire away? And we've seen it in two guards. We've seen it with Jamal Crawford, with the Clippers. We've seen it with J.R. Smith in New York. So I don't see nothing wrong with letting a guy like Josh Smith be that scorer you bring in off the bench. And because I think he's a very, very skilled and talented guy to score in a variety of different ways. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start sometimes. But then again, he mix it up sometimes and bring Josh Smith off the bench.
Yeah, I agree. That's pretty much the scenario I was going with bringing him off the bench and, you know, sort of, you know, just letting Monroe and Drummond really man that front line when they're out there. All right, my team. Well, LeBron James. How about him? LeBron James has informed the Miami Heat that he will opt out of his contract and become an unrestricted free agent on July 1st. Now, it's not guaranteed that James will leave Miami. He's opened the door to join another team in the offseason, possibly. Do you think he will do that, my team? What do you think?
Man, I don't really know, honestly, what he's going to do. But
yeah,
the player of today, I think, has a better understanding of business, of the business part of it. And I think we want to ridicule players when they decide to opt out of contracts or go to try to better themselves. We ridicule them. But if an owner trades you, then it's about business. It's just business. So don't nobody take that personal. So I think, hey, if your contract was structured in a way that gives you the option to opt out, hey, so be it. And me personally, I would like to see him go back to Cleveland. I would love to see him go home and, have some success right there for those fans, man. And I think at the end of the day, that'll be a storybook finish. But, hey, whatever he does, I mean, wherever team LeBron James play on, they're going to be good because he's that good. You know, he has that Magic Johnson, that it make everybody around him better.
Yeah.
So they'll have success wherever he is. But me personally, I would like to see him back in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of my rant at the beginning of the show. If he is going to leave, Mateen, you know, that'll be the fitting end to his career if he does go back in Cleveland, get them a ring. That'd be great. All right, and one more player, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony decided to opt out with the New York Knicks. What do you think he will do? Because Phil right now is going on Phil Jackson, who is now the head man over there, and as far as you know, picking and choosing the players and you know, messing around with the personnel on that team. He's going on record to say that he thinks Carmelo should probably take a pay cut so that it can open more cap room for the Knicks to play with and add some pieces around him. If you're Melo, what do you do, Mateen?
Yeah, they definitely – if I was Carmelo, they definitely would have to sit down and kind of show me what direction they're going in, because Carmelo don't want to continue to lose. Even though it's New York, it's a big market, he want to win. He's not getting any younger. So Carmelo definitely want to be in a situation where he got a chance to play for a championship. So I can, you know, if he does stay in New York, he's going to have to take a pay cut to get other guys to come play alongside of him. But don't be surprised if you see him in Chicago Bulls uniform. I think it's a perfect fit for him. Derrick Rose can come back healthy with Noah and Butler and some of the pieces that they already have there and Gibson. I think, you know, if you add Carmelo to the mix, because they can't score. They always could get stopped.
Yeah.
Now you add Carmelo to that, and you're talking about you got a very good team.
Hey, Carmelo may be a Bull. We'll see. All right. Former MSU hoop great, now NBA analyst for the Detroit Pistons on FSD, Fox Sports Detroit, and also Sirius XM Radio, also with CBS Sports. The always busy, Martin Cleese. Martin, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Big Al, my man. Take it easy, baby.
Hey, you do the same. We'll be in touch, brother. All right, how about that? And for more information about the My Team Cleaves One Goal, One Passion Summer Basketball Camp, presented by Meyer, again, parents and youth can visit www.onegoalonepassion.com or contact organizers at that website. The number is posted there. And to follow all of the One Goal, One Passion Summer Camps for tips, info, and to participate in the conversation throughout the summer, youth and parents can join the fun on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Again, all that information is on onegoalonepassion.com. And in just a moment after the break, I'm going to tell you how, if any parents out there are listening right now, if you want to sign your kids up for free, yes, for free, even though it's only a dollar, you can save that dollar, though, for free, folks. We'll let you know how you can get your kid involved by just simply calling in here to Current Sports. I'll list that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished talking with Martin Cleaves. And Martin has his One Goal, One Passion Summer Basketball Camp that will be taking place in Benton Harbor, Lansing, and also Flint. And right here on Current Sports, we are going to offer our listeners the opportunity to sign their kid up, their son or daughter, up for free. And you can do that by simply calling into Current Sports at 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I was chatting with Martin Charles, who is Martin's assistant, and they're trying to get as many kids from the Lansing area to participate as possible, and they decided to link up with us and offer a few slots open for free. Again, you can call in. We'll be taking your calls. 20 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527. How about that, man? I really wish, you know, when growing up, I only went to one basketball camp. I was, you know, of course, I was playing basketball, you know, been playing basketball since 4 years old, man, and I only went to one basketball camp when I was in high school. And I look at the camps that, you know, people like Mateen Cleaves throw, and I look at Al Horford's camp that he throws in Grand Ledge every year, and I always say, man, why didn't I get involved in more camps when I was young? And I think, you know, summertime hit, and I just wanted to just play all the time every day. But, you know, this is a great opportunity for kids to get out and really learn the game and learn things beyond the game as well. And I think Mateen, he's always doing something in the community. I tell you, it's a great event. So, again, folks, sign up. Registration is open for free right now. Well, at least if you call in the Current Sports, it's open for free at 517-355-9527. You can do so, again, by visiting OneGoalOnePassion.com. Well, let's start this thing off, Matt, by talking about, kind of piggybacking off the conversation I just had with my team about LeBron James opting out, which for me was no surprise. LeBron James, he's a very, very savvy businessman, and he's very, very knowledgeable about what he wants to do with his career and about what opportunity allows him to, one, win, and also, you know, feel pretty comfortable with wherever he's at. Miami's a great city. You know, it's Miami, for goodness sake. The weather's gorgeous. I mean, there's a lot of factors that weighed in that decision going down there. And, of course, the number one being that he can link up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and win some rings. Now, with them coming off this latest finals blunder, if you will, losing to the San Antonio Spurs in five games, really not even a close series. I mean, it wasn't surprising to us. It was surprising to me how that series went. It went so quick, I guess you could say. I called the Spurs in seven, and the Heat went out in five. There's a lot of question marks for the Miami Heat right now, which is why this move didn't surprise me. There's a lot of speculation as to where he would go. You know, Houston, I've heard the Houston Rockets. I've heard Chicago Bulls. The latest one I'm hearing is the LA Clippers. You know, he has a great relationship with Chris Paul and head coach Doc Rivers. There's so many scenarios here. But again, I kind of agree with Mateen on this one. If he's going to go to cement his legacy and to sort of silence the LeBron haters, if he's going to go, it has to be Cleveland, if he is going to go. If not, why not stay with Miami? You have a great core there still. You need some pieces, yes. But I just can't see him going anywhere else other than Cleveland if he is going to go.
I mean, Cleveland is the obvious choice just because of his history there. But it's not all good history there. That's the thing that people are forgetting. You know, the Dan Cleveland. Gilbert, Comic Sans, we will win. I guarantee the Cavaliers will win a title before the so-called King wins one. That's what he said when LeBron left. Mm-hmm. There's bad blood between the owner and LeBron James, and that's something that you don't want to have with the best player in the league and the owner of the team. They're going to have to mend fences before LeBron even considers going back to Cleveland. I think that's kind of the big thing that people are overlooking in this whole ordeal, is that Dan Gilbert has not been afraid to take shots at LeBron at each and every opportunity. I mean, when they lost the Mavs in 2011, said, you know, no shortcuts for anybody. You know, it doesn't work in this league. He just loves to take shots at LeBron because, mm-hmm. you know, he feels scorned, obviously.
Hey, he's salty.
And sure, and the whole city of Cleveland was when he left,
right,
too. It's not like, you know, obviously the decision was a terrible move in hindsight, but it doesn't take away the fact that Cleveland fans reacted pretty poorly to LeBron leaving, and when the ownership reacts poorly, that's going to have negative vibes for a while. So I think that's one thing that people are overlooking that they need to take into account. The other thing, as far as returning to Miami,
right?
Again, we said it last week, they need Wade and Bosh to restructure their deals so they can actually have some flexibility. The
exactly.
Heat got old really fast.
Right.
Really fast, and they're not getting any younger.
Oldest team in the league.
They need to infuse some new talent, and they're not going to have the flexibility to do it unless Wade and Bosh restructure their deals and take less money this year. And, you know, they're both owed like $20 million over the next, or for the next year, and then the next year after that, another 20. So they're going to have to maybe re-sign for longer and take it in smaller increments to open up some flexibility. Because if they don't do that, it's just going to be the 2014 Heat rolled over and over, getting older and worse. I mean,
mm-hmm.
There's no way they're going to beat a team from the West and win the NBA title with this core.
Not at all.
They have to get more pieces.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And like I said, and a lot of people forget that, you know, the Miami Heat, right now, they are the oldest team in the NBA. A lot of people forget that. And like you said, I was on the way in. Like I feel like I have a story about this. I was on the way in, listening to the radio, and they were saying that Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron will be sitting down and negotiating their contracts and talking about their future very, very soon. It was being reported. This is on Sirius XM on NBA radio, and they had broke that story. But they do this every year when they talk about their deal. So yeah, they will have to. Somebody's gonna have to take a pay cut here. They're gonna have to open up some cap room so that they can build around those three. And Dwayne Wade, for me, I mean, throughout the majority of the playoffs, I thought Dwayne Wade played solid, but still throughout the season, I mean, you wonder about his health. He's not getting any younger. You know, Bosh seemed to kind of go ghost as that series with San Antonio dwindled down. I mean, there's so many question marks right now. And if you're LeBron James, it's no surprise that he opted out for me, because he has to weigh options here. He's got to be smart about this if he wants to continue winning and adding to that legacy. So we have a caller right now. Chris from Lansing is on line one. Chris, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Good. What's going on, Chris?
Well, you know, I listen to you. You guys talking to the team. I got the opportunity to play against my team in high school.
Nice.
Unfortunately, that was the year that they won the state title, and they beat us by like 20-something points.
Right.
But besides that, I think LeBron going to Cleveland would have been a possibility if Embiid doesn't get hurt and they're able to draft him. I don't think they really have enough of a core to give him what he needs short term. I mean, you can get Kyrie to stay with LeBron coming in, but who else do you – I mean, Waiters is pretty good. But who do you have on the front line to really kind of balance that out? I mean, I'd love to – I think he should go to Cleveland as well. I think that would be awesome. But
right.
I feel like you're either going to stay in Miami or look at something like Houston.
Gotcha. You know, and Chris, let's say LeBron does go somewhere like Houston or, you know, L.A. or, you know, Chicago. For me, I've gone on record multiple times saying – the game has changed so much. I understand that, you know, but you didn't see back in the day superstars linking up with other superstars to win a ring. That notion just rubs me the wrong way, which is why LeBron caught a lot of flack for that move to Miami. But if he does make another move to win another ring, Chris, don't you think that the LeBron James here is going to come out again and bash him again?
I think they're going to come out. And I mean, I think, you know, it's just the whole hater thing. That's what you do. You're hating on somebody trying to, you know, make themselves better. I think when I was coming up, you know, I grew up when the Bad Boys was, I mean, you look at the Bad Boys, if you watch the documentary, which I just watched recently.
Yeah, it was great.
The only two pieces that they truly drafted were, or let me say four pieces, but Isaiah and Dumars. I mean, Lambert was traded for. Mahorn was traded for. I mean, they drafted Robin and Sally, you know, as later picks, which were good picks, but, you know, and Aguirre was a trade. So, I mean, I guess we didn't have, quote-unquote, three superstars here, but, I mean, for the majority of the teams that we grew up watching, I mean, they had three superstars, whether it's Parrish, McHale, and Bird, with, you know, players like Ainge and DJ, or, you know, Magic, Worthy, and you know, whether it's Byron Scott or Abdul-Jabbar. So,
right.
It's funny because I have a 10-year-old. Well, he'll be 10 at the end of this month.
Oh, congratulations, brother.
he's an avid basketball player. So
nice.
Which is another reason I called. we get to the camp thing.
Right.
But I try to explain to him, it's like, look, you know, basketball is ultimately a team game. Like the team he plays for, his local team, Lansing Spartans, they have a bunch of good kids for their little age group, but they don't win unless they play as a team. And ultimately, it comes down to, you know, at this age, you can't really have stars unless you just have one kid that's head and shoulders above, you know. There's only so many LeBrons out there. And
right.
I feel like, you know, if it is what it is, you know, you got to bring, I mean, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen, they did what they had to do.
Yeah,
the Spurs happen to have their three superstars that they were able to draft, and they drafted those three guys. So,
right, definitely.
But hey, what's the story on this basketball camp there?
Well,
you were mentioning.
Chris, you the man. Thanks a lot for calling in. And Chris, now you know. Again, we're gonna do this because I was talking to Martine Charles, who is my team's assistant, and the first five callers who call in. If we don't get five today, we'll run this again tomorrow. We'll open it up again tomorrow. But the first five individuals who call in will get a chance to sign their son or daughter up for the One Goal, One Passion basketball camp that will be taking place at the end of this month here in Lansing. Your kid will sign up for free. So congrats, Chris. There you have that. we'll take Chris's phone and email down, Alex, and set him
Thank
up
you.
There. Before we hit our next break, really briefly, Matt, I have to bring up this. Two great hockey players will be inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame this November. Alex alluded to it in our current sports quick hit headliners at the beginning of the hour. Dominic Hasek and Mike Modano will be entering the Hall of Fame. Of course, Modano hailing from Livonia, Michigan, and Hasek being a great contributor with the Red Wings, winning a ring. You know, those two hockey players were so good. Again, I was sitting back watching highlights of Hasek yesterday on the tube, and man, oh man, you see why they called him the Dominator. He was so good and fitting. It's about time that those two are inducted, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, Modano is arguably one of the best American hockey players ever.
Right.
Dominic Hasek is the best European goalie ever. I mean, he carried the Czech Republic to a gold medal in Nagano in 98.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first European goalie to win a Stanley Cup in 2002. He won another one with the Wings in 2008.
Right.
easily the most entertaining goalie to watch, just in terms of what he did. I mean, how he just used every inch of his body to stop shots.
It was so unorthodox. It was like just a fish out of water around the net.
He was unlike anyone else. There still isn't anybody like him.
Right.
It's good to see them getting their just rewards, getting into the hall. And you can't forget Peter Forsberg and Rob Blake.
How about those
Even though
right?
they played for the Avalanche, and I hated them when they played. Still
the
great players.
Rivals.
Still great players. Forsberg especially. He was one of the best players in hockey for like 10 years. So,
yeah. Medano, he finished with records for U.S.-born players. 561 goals, 1,374 points for him. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, Medano had, he was just so good. I mean, and, you know, you look at Hasek, he was just a household name now in Hockey Town and beyond in the game of hockey. So congrats to those two and everyone from that 2014 NHL Hall of Fame class. Well, you know what, Matt? It's Tuesday. We got about 9 minutes left. You know what that means? Top five Tuesday. Do we have our theme music, Alex? Well, Alex is busy right now. I don't know if we have our theme. We'll play it. Do we? Oh, we do have it. Let's play it real quick. Yes, 5-4-3-2-1. It's Top 5 Tuesday. I love Tuesdays, Matt, because we always go outside the box with this segment. And today's Top 5 Tuesday, you know, we were talking last week about, yes, Justin Verlander and his struggles that he's had this season so far. You know, we kind of pinned it unfairly a little bit on Kate Upton, and maybe he's getting a little distracted. You know, Kate Upton, of course, the gorgeous SI swimsuit model. You know, you've seen JV at games, and they're all lovey-dovey and kissing and smoochy-smoochy left and right. And we always wonder, you know, whether or not – because I've seen this in the past with Rihanna and Matt Kemp. Remember Rihanna and Matt Kemp and how his numbers dwindled during that whole thing? And it just makes you wonder whether or not celebrity-athlete relationships just aren't good for the athlete, so to speak. So our Top 5 Tuesday for today – centers on the top five player-celebrity relationships that supposedly hurt the athlete's performance. So, we'll start this thing off. Man, I'll let you do the honors to start this thing off. What's your number five, man?
Well, this is tough.
It is.
Because it's tough to measure, you know, it's tough to decide what you're measuring.
Yeah, it is. That's why I made it wide open, baby.
Because these guys are all at different levels.
Yes.
So, I guess at number five, I'm going to, maybe this is an unpopular pick. Mm-hmm. I'm going to choose Tom Brady and Giselle.
And Giselle, really? Why?
He has never won a Super Bowl since he started dating Giselle.
Right, right. Man,
his last Super Bowl was in 2005.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah, and he's still ringless since he started seeing her. He won four Super Bowls before that. He was on pace to win about 9 in his career. It's been almost a decade since he's won.
Sure, he may be ringless, but it doesn't take away that he's a great quarterback. It's not like he's gotten worse at quarterback.
I would argue that he has.
I don't know,
because he hasn't won a Super Bowl since. I mean, that's the thing. That's why this is such a tough one, because before, I mean, he's still obviously the same player, I guess, but he's not winning as much as he did before.
Well, I don't know, because I kind of would agree with Alex on this one, because if you look at Tom, I still think, even since he's been with Giselle, I mean, he's been arguably still the best quarterback in the game. And still, even though rings, I mean, you can't put it all on Tom, though. I mean, the defense hasn't been superb throughout this reign with Giselle either. So I know where you're going.
No,
he hasn't won a ring though.
He didn't hit Welker on that throw. He could hit Welker on that throw. Another Super Bowl. Maybe he was.
He was thinking about Giselle on the throw. Okay,
I'm just saying
that's
the thing. That's why it's tough. It's hard to measure these guys.
I'm going with Rihanna and Matt Kemp because Matt, I mean, he was set on a tear. Then he got Rihanna. You see him at the clubs left and right. He seems just being a. And he kind of admitted it. If you've seen the Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel piece on it, and he talks about his time with Rihanna, he says, yeah, I just wasn't focused, man. I was going out all the time. So that'll be number five to hit it off. Rihanna and Matt Kemp.
My number five is Clay Buchholz and Lindsey Klubine. Just because Clay Buchholz, where has he been the last year?
Who is the girl? Who is that?
Yeah, who is that?
Lindsey Klubine. I think she's some. I'll look into it. I think she's some model of sorts, a famous model.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, just because Clay Buchholz has been kind of irrelevant the last year. So
interesting. Okay, that's not bad. For me, at number four, I am going to go with, and I struggle with making this number one, too, but Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe. You remember that one? That one ended pretty bad, too. Joe DiMaggio, of course, a famed baseball player. Marilyn Monroe, need to explain her. I mean, she's one of the most famous actresses in the history of acting. And, you know, she, you know, when they got together, DiMaggio, you know, it was all lollipops and giggles at first. And it, but it, the way it ended is the reason why this is on my list, because the two ended pretty badly, where it was a story with Joe DiMaggio linking up with Frank Sinatra, and they end up, you know, seeing her at a hotel and she's messing around with this other guy. And this whole thing ensues where they get into it, a fight ensues. It was crazy. It's great. But that makes my list just because those two are such household names as well. So that's my number four.
If that happens in the present day.
Oh, my gosh. It'd be like a Ray Rice incident.
There's like 3 weeks worth of coverage.
Exactly. Headline on SportsCenter.
Never end. Okay. I guess my number four, I'm just going to go with the entire Kardashian family.
I like that. That's a good one. I thought about that one too.
Lamar Odom, Chris Humphries. Mm-hmm. You know, Lamar Odom's not even in the league anymore.
Right, right.
Chris Humphries is, he was going to be a, you know, maybe a double-double guy. Right. Not quite there. Boston's right. Looking to unload him. The Kardashians are just not good for anybody.
But you know what, Matt? I have some interesting stats on this. I really dug deep into this Top 5 Tuesday this week.
Uh-huh.
And I probably won't get to it today. We have about 3 minutes left on the show. We'll probably continue this segment tomorrow because there is a website that has broken down, you know, the athlete-celebrity relationship and sort of have a celebrity score, if you will, and how prior to their performance, prior to and after with that celebrity that they've hooked up with, if that's been beneficial to them. And they found an interesting way to measure it. Mm. And believe it or not, Kim Kardashian has a crazy positive rating when it came to Chris Humphries. I'm going to break that down tomorrow.
And still say that Chris Humphries regrets yeah. every second of it.
Yeah. Without a doubt. And they're seeing as though, you know, because they were married and not married, and she was still, you know, she started talking to Kanye at the same time. And, you know, the Kardashians are a mess. But, yeah, I agree. That's a good one. So, what about you?
Yeah, throwing Reggie Bush in there. That's
Reggie Bush, too.
Reggie Bush, yeah. The list goes on.
Yeah, my number four is Tony Romo and Candace Crawford. Just Tony Romo. He's still the Cowboys guy. You hear it on
Matt Simpson?
Time and time.
I think you got to go Jessica
you didn't
Simpson.
Go with
really?
Jessica Simpson
I don't know. I thought he's been worse with Crawford.
I don't even know who Crawford is.
Yeah, who is
his newest. It's his newest.
None of these girls. I don't know who any of these people
Alex
are.
Alex has these ghost
legs. I looked up Lindsay Klubine. She's a model and a TV host.
Really?
That's
okay,
what it says.
And who is Tony Romo? Who is this again? Tony Romo?
It's Crawford. I believe it's another similar one. It's another similar model.
Alex is going with these goat celebrities.
I thought the Kardashians were low enough on, like, you know, the D list, but I've never even heard of these.
It's like the Z list right there.
Oh,
but
boy.
Still, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, Romo.
Oh, Candace Crawford, okay. The former American beauty queen, won Miss Missouri.
Oh, okay. Well, that's kind of big. That's Miss Missouri. It's
good
bigger.
For her.
Yeah, good for her. All right. Well, let's stop there. We'll continue this tomorrow. We only have a minute left in the show. But again, yeah, I'm going to break down. You're going to be surprised at this website and some of the stats. I'm going to show you actually after the show this, man.
People have too much time. It's
way too much time.
Too much
time my
now.
Goodness. They actually came up with a stat called the celebrity score. Crazy stuff. All right. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. Tomorrow, we talk recruiting with Rico Beard of 105.1 Detroit Sports in Detroit, of course. And that should be an interesting one. So many moves being made in the world of recruiting for both Michigan and MSU. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Tuesday. And be easy, people.